So I mentioned to you during the Christmas season. The Christmas season is the shortest of all seasons, and yet we realize, despite its being the shortest, there's a lot that happens there. We celebrate his birth. We also, 8 days after his birth, we have him coming to celebrate it, the circumcision, and also his naming. And he's given a name. The name is Jesus. Okay, that's 8 days after his birth. Jesus' manifestation to the Jewish and the Gentile people was celebrated in the story of the Epiphany, the child being probably around 2 years old. Okay, the loss of a child for 3 days in Jerusalem happened, was the gospel story of the gospel of the feast of the Holy Family. It happened when he was 12 years old. And last week when you came, you celebrated the great baptism of Jesus Christ at 29 years old. That's the Christmas season. From his birth to 29 years old, that's the purpose of it, to now get ready for his salvific work. And the salvific work in year C begins with the story of a miracle. Now, in Minnesota Vikings history, we know of such a miracle. Okay? Go back a couple of years, playoff game, last play of the game or so being. Okay? Close enough. And all of a sudden, what do we have? A pass, a catch, a missed tackle, and an open field that leads to a touchdown. Okay? Now, in Minnesota Vikings lore, we call that the what? Minneapolis what? We call it a miracle. And so we have to ask ourselves, what is a miracle? A miracle is something beyond human phenomenon. It is beyond human explanation. And in the Gospels, there are 37 miracles attributed to Jesus. 37. We're familiar with some of them. So I ask the question today, what is your favorite miracle? Okay, I can share one with you, one of my favorite. It's the great story of the great catch. Remember that? They're fishing. They fish all night. They catch, come home. They're humiliated. They're washing their nets. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes along. And what does Jesus do? He tells Peter, lower the nets, and there is this gigantic catch that almost sinks two boats. But the greater catch is this. Jesus turns to Peter, James, and John and says, follow me. And they do. They follow Jesus Christ. Okay? In today's gospel, we hear about the first public miracle of Jesus Christ. And what do we learn in this gospel? That we are to invite Jesus into our lives. When we pray, when we work, when we play, invite Jesus into our lives. Because when we do, things happen. Think about today's miracle, the story you just heard. No invitation equals what? No miracle. Invite Jesus in. And with that, I'm going to show you something today. I'm going to grab this jigsaw puzzle that I have. It's actually in my office. But I'm going to show you this jigsaw puzzle. The jigsaw puzzle is actually one my mom put together. It is 17 of Jesus' miracles. And at the heart and the soul of it is the wedding feast at Cana. I want to make sure I got it upright. All right? There it is. All right. 17. 16 smaller miracles around the outer edge. The gospel story of today is the center picture. It's a painting by Lynn Morgan. And what I'm going to do today is I'm going to put it up on this easel. I want you to see it first. But because of the layout, it's going to be almost impossible for everyone to see it as I speak about it. But I want to talk to you about some of the things that I noticed regarding the miracle that we see in this painting. Okay? The miracle, the wedding feast at Cana. All right? Well, there Here you go, choir. All right? So there you have it. I'm going to put it up on this easel, and I'm just going to talk about it today. All right. First thing that you will notice in this puzzle or this painting itself is this. There are seven people in the background. Seven. When we're done here, I want you to go up and see if you can find all seven. Okay? But there are actually seven in the background. One is hard to find, but they're there. But if you actually look at all seven, they're all looking at one person. Guess who? Jesus. They're all looking at Jesus. All kinds of facial expressions, amazement, joy, happiness, it's all there, but they all look at Jesus. Isn't that a great lesson in life? Keep your eyes on Jesus, okay? Second thing I took from it was this. Jesus is the one doing the work. Nobody else in this painting is doing any work. Nobody. They're all focused on Jesus, every single one. And that's a great lesson when it comes to our life of faith. We have to do certain work. But when it comes to grace, there are times when we have to let Jesus do his thing, and we got to get out of the way. Okay? That's what happens. Get out of the way. Let Jesus do his thing. Okay, so what is he doing? He's actually taking wine or a jug. He has a jug and he's pouring water. And as he pours it, what you notice, what's fascinating is this. The water he's pouring with one arm, going through his left hand, and the water actually changes color as it goes through his hand. It goes from the color of water clear to red, which is wine. That should sound familiar. It depicts something later in Jesus' life. Do you remember when Jesus is on the cross? He's dead. Soldier comes along, thrusts a lance in his side. What comes out? Water and same stuff, right? Water clear, blood red. You know what they symbolize? The water from Jesus' side is baptism. The blood from his side is the power of the Eucharist. It's the Eucharist. Okay? The fourth thing I notice as I look at it, if you look at it carefully, there is abundance. You won't be able to see this, but you'll have to look at it. Not only does Jesus pour wine into the jar, but there's actually wine on the top of the jar. It's also on the handle, and he also has some on the ground. There is abundance. Abundance. What is trying to be depicted here? If we can allow Jesus into our lives, Jesus knows us. And he knows us so well that what he does is absolutely beyond word. We call the word abundance. You know, whenever we celebrate reconciliation, I always tell people, we think about the mercy of God, the forgiveness of love, the love. That's true. But it's there in abundance. In a way that no one else can ever give. There's abundance. Jesus gives this couple not only what's in the jars, but there's also an overflow. There is plenty. Abundance. Okay? Fifth thing, who's at the center of the picture? Jesus. Is that a good simple lesson? Keep Jesus at the center of your life. Okay? And the last thing I'm just going to notice today is this. There's actually a village in the background. Guess what that village is? What was the name? Cana. First miracle. If you actually read John's gospel, you're going to realize there's a second miracle of Jesus. It's found in John chapter 4. You can read it. I'll let you read it. But Cana is home to two of Jesus' 37 miracles. Okay? Those are the things that I noticed. Now, I want you to take a look at it today. You may notice other things, and that's great. Okay? That's good. All right? But still, we have to remember, this is where it all began. This story. And what does it teach us? Invite Jesus in, and we invite him in. Let him do his thing. Let him do his thing. Okay? So let's remember that as we begin this great season of ordinary time.